turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and I'll be reading verses 38 to 42, and out of reverence to God, would you stand as his word is read. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. As for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to the one who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You may be seated. Wednesday night, we were looking at the previous verses about taking oaths. Oaths is, we were looking in verses 33 through 37. And Jesus is saying, again, you have heard that it was said to our ancestors, you must not break your oath, but you must keep your oaths to the Lord. But I tell you, don't take an oath at all, either by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by the earth, because it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, or your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. And what had happened at the time of Jesus, and also is still going on today, people will say they mean something and not really mean it. Well, I had my fingers crossed, so it doesn't really mean it. Or the illustration I used from one of my favorite movies, Sergeant York, where he made a deal with somebody to buy a piece of land, and the person said, you have until this day. And he went to him and asked, can I have an extra few days to get? And the guy said, okay. But the guy didn't give him the extra few days because he said, did you get it in writing? His word didn't mean his word unless he wrote it down for that person. Other people's word don't mean their word unless something is there. And at the time of Jesus, well, they had to swear by something. But if you swore by anything other than God, it didn't really count, is what the Pharisees were teaching. And Jesus is saying, you shouldn't have to make an oath. Your yes should mean yes. And your no should mean no. That doesn't mean don't take oaths. It means keep your word, whether you've taken an oath or not. If you say you're going to do something, do something. Let your yes be known as yes, and your no be known as no. And now we come to a section. It's often misunderstood. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Now, this is not a call for vengeance. It's a call for appropriate justice. Let's look at Exodus chapter 21, where this comes from. Now, too often when you hear today an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, what people mean that is an eye for a tooth and a life for an eye. They want further punishment, but what this is saying is the punishment should be appropriate to the value of the injury. Exodus chapter 21, beginning in verse 23. If there is an injury, then you must give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, bruise for bruise, wound for wound. It's saying the penalty should be the value of the injury. You don't give a capital punishment for a broken finger. You don't take out somebody's eye, the value of an eye, for a broken tooth. the punishment should fit the crime. And it's repeated in Leviticus chapter 24, beginning in verse 17. Leviticus 24 and verse 17. If a man kills anyone, he must be put to death. Whoever kills an animal is to make restitution for it, life for life. If any man inflicts a permanent injury on his neighbor, whatever he has done is to be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, whatever injury he inflicted on the person, the same is to be inflicted on him. Whoever kills an animal is to make restitution for it, but whoever kills a person is to be put to death. You are to have the same law for the resident alien and the native, because I am the Lord your God. So here, God is giving legal penalties for crimes. Capital punishment is a penalty that can be exacted by the government. In Romans 13, Paul talks about this. The government is giving the sword of justice by God. And then if you look at Deuteronomy 19, beginning in verse 15, here it applies the penalty to perjury. Deuteronomy 19, beginning in verse 15. One witness cannot establish an iniquity or sin against a person. Whatever that person has done, a fact must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So you can't convict somebody only on one witness. If a malicious witness testifies against someone accusing him of a crime, the two people in dispute are to stand in the presence of the Lord before the priest and judges in authority at that time. The judges are to make a careful investigation, and if the witness turns out to be a liar who has falsely accused his brother, you must do to him as he intended to do to his brother. You must purge the evil from you. Then everyone else will hear and be afraid, and they will never again do evil like this among you. Do not show pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. The penalty of perjury is what the false witness is trying to have inflicted on the person. Now, what does it say the purpose is? So that people will fear the Lord and see that there is justice. Well, we're living in a society today that's a society of victimhood that wants vengeance. Not equity, not the appropriate penalty, but vengeance. If someone is offended, they want to extract as much pain on the other person as possible. We're living in the time where there is perceived wrongdoing all around us. My rights are being trampled. That's nothing new. People are looking out for themselves above all else. And if they feel their rights their perceived rights, have been offended, they want to take vengeance. This is what Jesus is addressing in our passage here. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. You've heard what Scripture says about equity, but I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Let God bring the vengeance. Let God bring the justice. We are to be different as Christians. Not seeking vengeance because we didn't get our way, or someone has offended me. And Jesus addressed several things. If someone slaps you on the cheek, that's not going to hurt. It'll sting a little bit. But it's an affront to your dignity. How dare you slap me? Let's see what Jesus did when he was slapped. Turn to John chapter 18, the Gospel of John, chapter 18 and verse 22. When he had said these things, one of the officials standing by slapped Jesus, saying, "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" Now think about this for a minute. Who is Jesus? Jesus is God. He could bring 12 legions of angels. You slap Jesus and all of a sudden you got 7,000 angels surrounding you. 70,000. Jesus could have called that, but what did he do instead? Look at verse 23. "If I have spoken wrongly," Jesus answered, "give evidence about the wrong. But if rightly, why did you hit me?" Jesus was slapped on the cheek, and he responded not with the power he had at his disposal, not by having a lightning bolt strike the high priest right there. Okay, you strike me with your fist, I'm going to strike you with a lightning bolt. No. "If I spoke wrong, tell me the wrong I spoke." He wasn't exercising the rights that he had, but he was controlling and presenting the truth. "Tell me the wrong I did. But if I didn't do anything wrong, why did you strike me?" He pointed out that person's wrong. Back to Matthew 5. Verse 40. "As for the one who wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat as well." Now, the first dealt with our dignity. The second deals with lawsuits. You're being taken to court. Paul addresses this in the churches where he says, "Why are you suing each other? Wouldn't it be better to be wronged?" And if someone is taking you to court to take your shirt, he said, let them have your overcoat as well. And in Exodus chapter 22, verses 26 and 27, it is forbidden to keep the overcoat overnight. In verse 26, you can take it as collateral, but you got to give it back at sundown because it says the person can use that to sleep in. So the overcoat was wrap around you to keep you warm on those cold nights, sort of like a sleeping bag in addition to an overcoat. But Jesus is saying, if someone is suing you, you have the right to demand justice. But if they're suing you, go a little bit further. Give them more than they're asking for, because you're called to be different. There should be justice in the court system, yes. But you're not looking out for your rights. God is taking care of your rights. And then the next part it says, and if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Now, that doesn't necessarily makes sense to people in our society today. If you can imagine back at the time, closest thing I can say, back to the time of the Pony Express. A lot of people have heard about the Pony Express. You had these little stations where they had horses. The person would ride the horse as fast as they could from one point to the next because they were trying to get the mail delivered as fast as possible. Well, this goes back to ancient times as well. And in the time of the Roman Empire, they had stations along the way that they were delivering messages. And if you happened to be at one of those stations, they could force you to take a message, go back the way you came 1 mile, and deliver it to the station 1 mile that way. That's going to be inconvenient. It messes with your personal liberty. But Jesus is saying, if someone is forcing you, and the Roman government could force anyone to do that 1 mile distance. Matter of fact, when Jesus couldn't carry his cross anymore, the Roman soldier forced Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross beam of Jesus' cross, the last leg to Jesus' crucifixion. That was something that the government could do. Jesus is saying, if you're forced to do this thing that you don't want to do, go even further. So imagine this Roman soldier saying, take this message back that day 1 mile. I'll carry it too. Roman soldier, what? Nobody ever offers to go extra. We are to be different as Christians. God knows when we've been offended. God is not surprised when we get slapped in the cheek. Do you have video? I didn't see that happening. Can you show me? Let me check my records. Maybe I was focused on something. God knows everything that happens to us. And he will make things right. That person that slaps you, that person that takes you in a lawsuit, that person that tells you to go the extra mile, where are they going to be in 1,000 years? Our focus should be, we want to see them in heaven. For with Christians, every one of you that are Christians here, this is not the last time I'm going to see you. I'm going to see you again. For a Christian, it's never goodbye. It's just see you a little bit later. For the one that's not a Christian, I will never see you again unless you become a Christian. So that one that slaps, is that the last time you're going to see that person because you took your vengeance out and they weren't drawn to Christ? Or you responded differently and they were drawn to Christ? What's wrong with this person? What's different about this person? They went the second mile. What's different about this person? What's different is we have a new relationship with God. And we want them to have that relationship too. Because God desires that no one goes to hell. He wants everyone to repent and turn to him. But God is not going to force anyone to go to heaven. We have a choice. God makes it clear the difference, but he doesn't force anybody. He could force us to go to heaven. But that's not how God works. He desires a relationship with us, not desires that we are his robots. And then going on, verse 42, give to the one who asks you. Don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. And in Romans chapter 12, Paul repeats what Jesus is saying when he's writing his letter to the church in Rome. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for in so doing, you will be heaping fiery coals on his head. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Now, I looked at what a commentator said about heaping the fiery coals. Some of us think that, yeah, we get them burning all the way. No. Said one thing they did, the fire coals to start a new fire. They carried a little basket on their head that they could move and start a fire. You're helping the other person out avoid the fires of hell and be comforted. We're called to be different from the world. God will bring justice. The Christian gets slapped. He ends up on judgment day hearing from Jesus, enter into heaven. The one that slapped, that rejects Jesus, hears on judgment day, depart from me, I never knew you. Judgment day is the final time when God settles all accounts. Do you really want to see someone to go to hell? Because you want your rights avenged. Cities burn across our country because people perceive their rights have been offended. Our justice system is turned on its head. Instead of appropriate justice, appropriate penalty for the crime, we want vengeance on the one that did wrong. God has called us to be different. God will deal with those judges and those individuals that didn't do right. But it's up to us to leave it to God, not to exact our own vengeance. Now, that doesn't mean don't have a legal system that honors God. We're called to do that. The government is put in charge to ensure our God-given rights are enforced. But we are to be different as Christians. Turn to verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. Remember what it said there? In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We're called to be different. Will we let Christ's light shine through us? Now, out here we got the sign. It was getting a little dull. It's been cleaned and new LED light bulbs in there, and you can see it for a long way off. Will our life be outdone by the sign, or will Christ's light shine through us? We need to share the light of Christ to bring glory to God. We didn't clean the sign to bring glory to us as a church. We cleaned the sign so we can give a message and share with our neighbors about the love that God has for them. Sometimes it's hard. People do a lot of bad things. But do you really want them to go to hell? Or do you want them to repent? If you have God's attitude, you want to see them repent and be with you in heaven. And that's hard, because we still got that earthly, fleshly nature. We want to see ourselves vindicated. God wants to see his forgiveness spread through all. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for your love for us. I pray that we'll let your light shine through our lives, that people will be drawn to you. Let us examine our responses and entrust justice to you. In Jesus' name, amen.